Thank you very much, Han. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles, if you will, please, one last time here in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I've had done a series of messages on this. While you're looking for that, I'm going to say a few things about this big happy family conference. Whether you're here, whether you're watching online, if you can get here, there's a QR code there for information on the package, and actually you can see it on the website there as well. I really want to, it says one big happy family. You could come and possibly glean a lot out of it, even if you don't have any family anymore. Because really what we're going to be doing is talking about family dynamics. So you got parents, you got kids, then you got the in-laws and outlaws, you know how it goes. And then you got all the other kids, and then you got this family, you know, and you know, the idea that maybe mom and dad likes you better and all this kind of, all the dynamics. And maybe there were some things in your past that was a problem. And there may be a way here for us to deal with those. So be honest with you, I'm not sure where they are right now, but do we still have those offering boxes we had for COVID? There's got to be floating around here someplace. And I'm going to put one of these out here. And if you've got a question, you can ask it anonymously. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And you know, there's all those questions I wish I could understand, but I'm not going to ask anybody. Well, you can put it on a piece of paper and drop that thing in that box. And when we get here, we're going to have some time to ask some of these questions. And so you can ask it anonymously. Don't put your name on unless you want to. That's fine. But you don't need to put your name on it. And put it in there, and we will discuss as many of those as we can. And put them in different contexts, and so I really want this. I want this. Everybody should be able to come to this. It's Friday night, Saturday morning to about lunchtime, about 12:15 is what I have scheduled, and we're out of here. We'll have a little light reception, 6:30 to 7 on Friday night. A little light thing, a little continental breakfast at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and just light. Just in case you didn't get anything, just something to keep your stomach from growling. But well, my family's all grown up. Yeah, but now you're dealing with grandkids, or you're dealing with your grown kids, all those things. And so this is a family with, and when it's all said and done, there's going to be six pastors plus me. Okay, the father's in ministry. His three sons are in the ministry, and his six. That's right. That's too many. There's five kids plus the pastor. That's six plus me. That's seven. That's, yeah. Okay, so it's going to be a whole crew, and they still get along. And so anybody in the area that wants to come. We're gonna probably pass a plate just to help, but I'm not charging anything, and we might just put a plate out there, so if you can put something in there, you can, but just to kind of help, because it's going to be expensive to do this. But this is David Bixler and his family. I really want you, he saved him up at Williamsport, PA, really want you to do that. I'm sorry to do this, but also have these papers for the school board meeting on July 16th, and these are out here. They're talking about it's a policy by the Independent Law Center, and several school boards in our area are looking at these, and they're going to be voting on these, Lord willing. And so if you can come and support them, I would encourage you to do that. But you read it so you know what it is that you're supporting. Don't support it on my word. But really what they're trying to do is, one is so that the school will not encourage a child to be transgender and use the names and all the stuff and the pronouns without the parents' knowledge. Okay? Now, if the parents come with a legal thing, they've changed the name of their child, there's really nothing we can do about it. It is what it is. It'd be a shame, but it is what it is. But there's an awful lot of that going on, so we want to make sure that we are doing it right. And then the second one is that's more about sports, correct? So that the girls are girls and boys are boys. Okay, you read them, and if you want to come, I'm asking you to come and say anything unless you want to, but just be there in support, because I'm really afraid there's going to be a lot of support for the other side of this issue. And so I would encourage you to do that. And I got one last thing. You know, a few months ago, I had these bags out here for ladies. They look a little different than this. But these are shopping bags. We got a whole stack of them. I got a whole bunch more box here. Ladies, if you want to use these to go shopping at the grocery store, whatever, if you'll use them, take them. Okay? If you say, well, I'll probably use about five when I go. Take five. You see what I'm saying? Of course, that's probably $500 worth of groceries if you got five bags filled up. But if you can do that, that's fine. Take five. They're free. We're not asking you. And so they're just, every time somebody goes by, they see one of those red bags, they're going to say, why do all these people have these red bags that they go to groceries? Oh, they got them at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And so it has a little thing on the side of it. So that's all it is. It's just an advertisement. You're helping us out. Let folks know where we are. Now, John chapter 17, and I want you to look at verse 13. We're going to close this up this week. Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's about ready to be crucified. Disciples are going to be left here to do the work he's called. And there's good things and bad things. He's glad they're going to be here. But it says in verse 13, it says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 14. Watch this. I have given them thy word. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God has given us his word. Jesus was the word made flesh. That is a great thing. Then, of course, his teachings. That was all good. However, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. All you have to do sometimes is just use the word of God, and there's somebody who's going to hate you. They don't like it because they are convicted. It hurts their feelings. And you might even say something that you think is good. Hey, we're all sinners, but Jesus died and paid for all our sins. All we got to do is receive him as our Savior. We get to go to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You calling me a sinner? So the world hath hated them because, verse 14, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, we're not supposed to be of the world. We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. He said, I really don't want to take, I don't want to remove you. You're here for a reason. But I do want to keep you from the evil. Of course, why? The world hates the Word of God. And if you're proclaiming the Word of God or just living like the Word of God says to live, sometimes that's an affront to folks out there. And they hate you for that. He says, but I want to keep you from the evil. Now watch. He's speaking of his disciples to the Father. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That'd be a wonderful thing. Now watch this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. In other words, Jesus says, I set myself apart. I was willing to do what the Father called me to do. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Why did I do all I did? Why was I willing to come and suffer and put myself on the line to be crucified? Set myself apart to God. Listen, when he decided he's going to come and be crucified, he wasn't setting himself apart to the world. He was giving everything of the world up. He was giving everything up in heaven. To come down here and be born of a manger, and be born and laid in a manger, and live a poor man's life, and be persecuted the whole time, and finally nailed to the cross. And what worst of it all, have all the sins of the world placed on him. Have you ever felt guilty? Imagine the guilt of the entire world on your shoulders. That's why he sweated blood in the garden. He knew what was coming. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. That's us. The ones who are going to hear the word and get saved down the roads, I'm praying for them too. Watch, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He says, my spirit to be living in those Christians in such a evident way that the world can see Jesus. But that's not going to happen if we're set apart to the world. Of course, if we're set apart to the world, then the world would love us. But woe unto him when all the world speaks well of thee. So I need to be set apart to Christ. But then the world hates me. Now how am I supposed to live over here? Be more and more sanctified unto him, that we are more and more under his support. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to talk about sanctifying truth, and it's part number 3 back there, Sterling. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We want to finish this up here today, but Lord, I don't want to push through it. I want us to understand it and really bring a closure to this whole concept of sanctification. So Lord, help me. I ask for your Holy Spirit to move. Pray that you'll speak to our hearts. May they be spirit-filled hearers, be a spirit-filled speaker. May your Holy Spirit do the work. Let us set ourselves apart unto you here this morning, maybe just for a few moments, if nothing else, so that we may understand your word, so that we may live by it. We thank you for what you're going to do, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So I started this series of messages early in June, and it was meant to be one message, but so much for that. I want to roll right into the passage here and use it as a review and introduction into these final thoughts. Now, we expect difficult times while living as a Christian in this old world. And I spoke about this on Wednesday, if you were here. Satan hates God. And thus, Satan hates God's Son, Jesus. And Satan hates God's creation, because creation brings glory to God. And Satan cannot stand it when God gets the glory. In fact, in Isaiah 14, it talks about when Satan fell, and he says, I will be as the great one. I will be on high. People are going to worship me. That was his problem. Didn't want God to get the glory. But the fact is, in Romans 1, it talks about, no, we know who he is, and yet we glorify him not. And professing ourselves to be wise, we become fools, as if God isn't the greatest. God is the greatest. I'm sorry. He just is. Always will be. We're not even close. That's what Donald Trump says. Not even close. So creation brings glory to God. Satan cannot stand it when God gets the glory. And so God's greatest creation now is man. Man is created to bring glory to God, created in God's image. So Satan hates man, and thus he seeks to destroy man any way he can. And so Satan likes to lay low so he can get, and he gets others to do his dirty work. And most often, Satan uses man himself to destroy man, and especially Christians. He loves to destroy Christians who can bring greater glory to God because God dwells in them. Now, Jesus understands that, and he is warning the disciples that things are going to get tough at times, and Jesus is also praying that the Father will be with them and be there to support them, which, of course, he will. That is, if they walk with God. Now, the Lord's available presence is not the problem. The issue is with us. The question is, will we avail ourselves to the presence of the Father? Now, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But do I go to Christ for the strength? Jesus wants to give us light to walk in, but do we choose to walk in the light provided? Many people pray for the strength of the Father and the leading of the Holy Spirit, but they refuse to walk in the truth that they already know. Number one, we have found, we're going to do this quick. Life gets tough in this world, but God our Father wants to take care of us. He says, now I'm no more in the world, verse 11, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them through thine own name, those whom I has given me, that they may be as one. If we're going to make it through this life, we have to be in this evil world, we are going to have to stay close to the Father and to the people of God. That's why we're here. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I know that all kinds of things happen. There's physical issues and health things and so forth and so on, and travel you have to do with work or whatever and so forth. But the fact is, I asked my secretary, do you know how many people that are actually on the roll of our church? Over 600. You know what we average on a Sunday morning? A little over 300. And you know what? There's a good portion of the folks in here that have not, who've been coming, that haven't yet actually officially joined the church. Now there are people in here who were here when I came 20 years ago, and they're still here. And they're faithful week after week after week after week after week after week. And that's a wonderful thing. And there's folks who've come over the years who are doing that. They're faithful week after week after week. But the fact is, do we set ourselves apart? Or is God just something, well, we do, we have nothing else to do? If Satan can get us running scared, trying to live in the power of the flesh and fighting each other, he can stop the work of God and even destroy us and ultimately stop us from bringing glory to God. And that's what he wants to do. So while Jesus was on the earth, he was able to keep a lid on it. It says so in verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them. I won't spend a lot of time on it because we've talked about them. So now Jesus is about to go to heaven, and these mortals are going to be left on earth to carry on the work of God just like we have to do. And they will be able to carry the work of Jesus if the Lord is allowed to lead and guide and empower and control the situation. So they must be set apart unto the Lord to do what the Lord would have them do and in his power. In fact, he says in verse 13, now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Now Jesus wants to have a good life, but then he says, I've given them thy word, and the world hateth them because they are not of the world. So the disciples are going to be in the same situation as Jesus, hated because they live by and proclaim truth, which Satan and the world hates because it hurts their pride. It hurts their pride. hurts their feelings. The Word of God criticizes their actions. And Jesus says he has given the disciples his word, and the world hates them because the world hates the word of God. And yet Jesus says, even though they are no longer of the world, he doesn't want them to be taken out of the world, even though the world hates them. So listen, the word of God gets under the skin of the world, and it irritates them to the point that makes them angry. So don't be surprised they come out right out and fight you. Have you ever been mowing recently? You can't hardly work outside without sweating. You just kind of walk outside, you sweat. And have you ever been, every once in a while I'll mow, and the little knoll that we live on, there's always a breeze. And you know, have you ever been where you're mowing, and you come around the corner, and the wind goes, whoosh, and all the grass clippings go all over you. And you're sweaty, so they all stick. And you're trying to get them off of, you know. My dad used to talk about harvesting barley. And they say that the barley beards would just go everywhere. And he said, you get that down there, and it would itch. It'd get underneath you, you know, underneath your collar, and just drive you bananas. Believe it or not, that's how many folks feel when they hear the word of God. Why? Because they don't want to hear it. And so every little bit of it irritates the dickens out of them. You know what that is, right? So listen, God could just take us out of the world once we're saved, but God wants to employ us in his work. And if God takes us out of the world, who's going to do the work of giving out the gospel? So he says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, number two, what is the remedy for the predicament? More of the word of God. He said, the next verse, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, sanctify means to set apart, to make holy, to consecrate, to hallow as belonging to something. If I talk about being sanctified in my wife, I'm talking about being sanctified. Listen, I can either be sanctified in the world, giving myself to the world, or I can be sanctified in God and give myself to the things of God. Now, there's a whole continuum in between there, I understand. And some people try to ride the fence. It's not comfortable to sit on the fence. There's an awful lot of people who try to ride the fence. They're kind of playing the world and pretend that they're sanctified to God. Listen, I can't play around with other women and say that I'm sanctified to my wife. Sanctified, to make sacred. There should be a sanctity of marriage. Do you ever hear that term? The sanctity of marriage. That means it is exclusive. God wants to sanctify us. Now, we're not going to be perfect. I mean, I'm a perfect husband, but we can't be a perfect Christian. No, I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect husband. But I sanctify myself to her. And she does to me. That's what makes it a good relationship. But we got to do the same thing with God. Now, anyway, we must be fully on God's side if we want to get God's full support. How do we get on God's side? Put this in your mind here. We must choose to learn God's word. It's work. Secondly, we must choose, watch me, to agree with God's word. Now you say, well, I don't know it all yet. You don't have to. It's God's word. Now wait a minute. Did you catch that? It's God's word. I don't have to decide whether it's true or not. Huh? Come on. I have to choose to agree with God's word because God's word is true. Now, a lot of folks say, well, I'm going to go learn it, but they haven't just chosen to agree with it. Say, well, I don't like some of the things it says. Me neither. But I agree with it. I agree with it because it's God's word. Now watch, we got to learn God's word. Second, we got to agree with God's word. Wait a minute here. We must choose to obey God's word. There's a lot of people who say, well, that's right. No, that's right. And they go out here and live exactly the same way. They're still sanctified to the world. They're not sanctified. Listen, they want, and they don't feel sanctified because they amened at the right time. But we're still living in the world. We're not living in Christ. Now, once we have the truth hidden in our hearts, we ought to be prepared to actually live a successful life that overcomes the world. Remember, the world hates you because you have the Word of God. But what's the remedy? More of the Word of God. So that you're living the way God wants you to live, so that you're getting, you've got God on your side. Now, wait a minute. I say that wrong. I'm not trying to get God on my side. I'm getting on His side. My daddy's bigger than the world's daddy. Now, 1 John 5 says this, for this is the love of God, 1 John 5, 3, that we keep His commandments. Okay, we're gonna obey the word of God. Watch. And His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. Just do it. And they're not gonna get you in trouble. With the world you might, but not with God. But God fights our battles. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... Where we go? There we go back to that. So who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, so, number three. I mentioned this last time. Sanctification tends to be a two-step process. First, we need to decide we want to be sanctified and set apart unto God. Romans 12, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here I am, Lord, all that I am. I don't know everything that's in the Word, but I agree with it. I don't know it all, but with what I know, I'm going to obey it. A lot of folks don't understand the Word of God because they come to it with suspicion. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if that works. I mean, I saw somebody do that, and I don't think it turned out well. And you knew Christians, I mean, some of them died. And so we stick our toe in the water. Well, I did more than some of those other folks. I got my foot in the water here. I'm more sanctified than they are. But hey, you still got this other foot over here. We need to decide we want to be sanctified. And secondly, in order to be sanctified, we must put ourselves into position so that God can do His work. So present your bodies a living sacrifice. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So how are we going to understand and be able to do what God wants us to do? We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, the renovation. We need to do extreme makeover. Now, let me give you something new, and we'll finish today. How does the Word of God sanctify us? He says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Wait, back in 17, John 17, 17. Now, if you got your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we're doing here. How does the word of God sanctify us? First of all, There's two stages to sanctification. One is a definite time, and one is open-ended. Number one, look at 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul is talking to Timothy, his protege, and he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So how did Timothy come to know how to get saved? Which is the Bible, the Word of God, right? So first of all, we're saved. That's called positional sanctification. Positional sanctification says that I am not going to die in the sin of the world. God in His grace has saved my soul. My soul is sanctified. It has a position in that it is saved. Okay? I am no longer in the category of the unsaved going to hell. Am I perfect? No. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I saw my sin, I repented of my sin, and I came to a Savior with nothing to offer but my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Positional sanctification. We're set apart unto salvation. We learn this from the Word of God. Now watch. I'm saved, so I've got a position. I'm going to heaven. So everything's okay, right? Well, everything's going to be okay when I die. But I'm a babe in Christ. I've been born again. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. If thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Scriptures are able to make one wise unto salvation, for there is so much, but there's so much more that the Word of God needs to address if you're going to live a sanctified and righteous life. So there is something called progressive sanctification. This is the process where we are setting ourselves apart. We're setting apart each area of our life and our being itself unto God. We are to be in the process of handing over every aspect of our life. We are presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, holy unto Him. Now watch me. If you're still in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I agree with it. It's good. All Scripture is profitable. Now there's something, that's a little statement. You say, well, okay, let's move on. Now wait a minute. There's an awful lot of people who read the Bible and say, well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm just going to put that aside. I'm not reading that part again. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not profitable. In fact, a lot of times the parts we don't understand, listen, God's got a gem in there. He's got a nugget in there that He wants you to find, and it's going to be good when you figure that thing out. And sometimes you got to read the rest of the Bible, and you come back and say, oh, I get it. I understand. I just saw it. There it is. In fact, there's little things you'll find out. They'll pop up in the Bible all the way through. You know why? Same guy was the author of all of it. God himself. And then it says, all scripture is given, is profitable, what? For doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, living a sanctified life. Now, the scripture is able to make one wise unto salvation, but there's more to it. Now, watch me. The degree of my sanctification is determined by the degree in which I am purified of my sin and set apart to Him. Now, how do I get rid of my sinful actions? Psalm 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. You know what that says? I agree. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How do I know how to live a sanctified life? Well, again, Psalm 119, 102. I have not departed from thy judgments, that's the word, that thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, that's his word, I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You know what we just said? I refuse to be sanctified to the world. I hate every false way. And then it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've chosen the word of God. I'm sanctifying myself to the word of God. Now, what's our process here? I'm going to go back, add a little bit to it. First, learn the word of God. You can't be sanctified or set apart to something that you don't understand. If someone came to you, and seriously, if someone came to you and said, I really wish I knew what was going to happen to me after I died. I'm serious. Could you take them to the verses in the Bible and show them how to receive Christ? If someone came to you and they said, I'm struggling in my marriage. I just really don't know how to deal with it. Could you take them to the Word of God and show them from the Bible what marriage is supposed to be like? You know, we are supposed to be living by the Word of God, but I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of folks wouldn't be able to go to the Bible and find the answer to life's issues. I'm sorry. How can we be sanctified to the Word of God if we don't know it? My degree of sanctification is determined by my degree of surrender to God's truths. What all the things, all the different areas of life. So first, we learn the Word of God. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Secondly, remember the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thirdly, trust the Word of God. You can know it, but if you're not willing to live by it, it does you no good. Fourthly, obey the Word of God. It's one, there's a lot of folks who say, I know this is true, I really do, I believe so, you know, but they're not willing to do it. And fourth, and Bible says there, it says, in fact, let me go, trust in the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll direct your path. Now, do you get on the path? Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. You got to obey it. And finally, live out the Word of God. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, let me walk through this real quickly. What should the Word of God do? All Scripture is given by inspiration. Back in Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's information. The positive truth of God's Word. It informs us of what things really are supposed to be or things that we're not supposed to do, what we're supposed to be doing or not doing. It's the doctrine. It's the truth. We are getting our truth from the world. We say we're Christians, and we want to think we're sanctified, but the fact is we're getting our philosophy from the world. And when the world disagrees with God, usually there's a whole lot more in the world that agree together, even though they're all wrong, and yet we let that influence us till we were willing to listen to them instead of the world, instead of the Word of God. So he says, in doctrine. You could say that's what's right. Secondly, for reproof. That word reproof is evidence that convicts, refutes. It tells our faults. It admonishes us. It's to tell us where we're off track from following the path of righteousness. The Word of God will do that. A lot of times we don't want to hear the Word of God because, and that's really why we don't read the Word of God. We don't want to hear what it says because it's reproving us. It hurts our feelings. Listen, you say, well, that's us, all those folks out there. Ah, Christians do it too. Maybe we got those major things worked out, but there's a lot of little things we don't want to deal with. So listen, so the Word of God, how's it going to sanctify us? It's going to tell us where we're supposed to be standing. Tells us where we're supposed to be standing. And then it's reproof. He says, you hadn't been standing over there. Then it says, for correction, reformation, to straighten you out, to straighten things up again when we've gotten off track and righteous. Listen, once the honest heart knows truth, knows what to do, and has been corrected, so it knows what not to do, this informs us of how to get things right and to start over. Listen, we can know what we're supposed to do, and we can know the things we're not supposed to do. But you know what? God can tell, He can teach you in the Word of God how to get from there to here. How can I get corrected? You know, you're driving down the road and you're looking out here and wait, I got to correct my direction. I'm going to correct it. That's what he's talking about. I'm going to correct it. And then finally he says, instruction of righteousness. To be tutored into things that are good and honest and just, equitable. You know what? Isn't it a wonderful thing when there's sometimes, listen, we can get to the point where though we might get off a little bit and a little correction from here and there, but instruction in righteousness is to teach us how to stay right. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to listen to the world. I want God in my life. I want to choose Him. I want to be set apart to Him. This is the world hates us. Because we have the Word of God, what do we need? More of the Word of God so we know how to stand and put on the whole armor of God. Listen, we're supposed to be walking in the, we're supposed to have the breastplate of righteousness. Well, how do we know what's right? In the Word of God. Doctrine, that's what's right. Reproof, that's what's not right. Correction, how to get right. Instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. He tells me, Sterling, watch it. Get back there on track. So I'm supposed to have the breastplate of righteousness. That means I'm supposed to live righteously, and it'll spare my heart and all my being from a lot of hurt. And then it says, the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Faith comes with hearing, and hearing by the devil comes along, and he says, you're not going to heaven. You really think you're going to heaven? Well, I don't know. But see, my faith says, yeah, I got the Word of God. Whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I did that. And you know I did. He doesn't have to knock me down. He doesn't have to, it doesn't have to hurt. You'll never be able to have a good marriage. Yes, I can. The Bible told me how. Dwell with her according to knowledge. I'm supposed to love my wife. Marry a girl that fears God. I'll be in good shape. Nanner, nanner. Standing in the position of sanctification, set apart to God, is a wonderful place to stand. Now listen. Jesus is asking for us to set ourselves apart unto God. In John 17, he said this, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as the Father art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We all need to be in here, all set apart to him. And he said, you know what? The world's going to say, I don't know what. I've never seen anything like that. It's like that person's got God all over him. And so does that one. And that one, and that one, and that one. You know, the testimony of one Christian can do an awful lot. But the testimony of multiple Christians can do much more. Now, to a certain extent, I've had people say, when I walked into your church, I felt the Holy Spirit. Well, that's good. But you know what? That's something we have to maintain by being in the Word and letting it correct us. Listen, God should be all over us, all of us, so much that when somebody walks in here, it's just like, ooh, I'm not weird and crazy. I'm just saying, God's in here. I met this person. I met some guy in the parking lot. And boy, there was something different about him. Then somebody gave me a bulletin. Boy, there was something different about him. And I sat down next to somebody and to get a seat, and there was just something different about that person. And then the choir got up to sing, and you know, when they sang, it's almost like they really believed what they were singing. It was so open and transparent. In fact, when a guy got up and gave the announcements, you know, he's just kind of different. And when the preacher got up, he spoke from the Word of God. It's obvious he loves the Word of God. He wants truth, and he loves us and wants us to have truth. That's what he says, so the people will know. Listen, we're trying to save the world, and how will the world know we are sent from God to give them the truth? When we're like Jesus. We will be like Jesus when we set ourselves apart unto God to do as God would want us to do. In other words, we need to be sanctified. And we are sanctified by the Word of truth, the Word of God. And being sanctified will draw the ire of the world against us. And how do you handle the world's attack? with more of the Word in us so we can live like Jesus, handle the attack, and the world will see us like Jesus. And how can we be sanctified? Sanctified by His truth. Thy sanctify Him through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That's it. It's really quite simple. And it changes everything. So first we got to decide, do we want to be sanctified unto God? Do we even want to? Then we have to go to the Word. Learn the Word of God. Agree with the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. And live it out.